Welcome to Torat Imecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. This is Amy Horowitz, and today we are studying Yeshayahu Perek Lamed Dalet. In Perek Lamed Dalet, Yeshayahu delivers a prophecy that's not directed at any one nation specifically, but at all the nations of the world who've caused Bnei Yisrael to struggle. Kirvu goyim lishmoa ule'umim hakshivu, tishma ha'aretz umlo'a tevel v'chol tse'etza'eha. Approach nations and listen. Give heed, people. Let the earth and those in it hear, the world and what it brings forth. Malbim explains that among the nations of the world there are those that are goyim, those that have no religious philosophy or theology, and those that are le'umim, those that do have a specific religious philosophy or theology. Yeshayahu's nevuah in this perek is directed at both. According to Malbim, the Eretz in our pasuk refers to unsettled land, the parts of the world with no cities or villages, whereas Tevel refers to the settled, civilized parts of the world. In other words, Yeshayahu's message to the nations is universal and refers to the ultimate redemption that Mashiach will bring. Yeshayahu begins his nevuah by telling the nations that God's angry at them for defiling the holy city of Yerushalayim. Ki ketzef laHashem al kol hagoyim v'cheima al kol tzva'am hecherimam netanam latavach. Hashem is angry at all the nations, furious at all their armies. He's doomed them, consigned them to slaughter. Malbim notes that our pasuk uses two different words for Hashem's anger, ketzef and chema. While Hashem has ketzef, anger, at all the nations who plotted and planned the downfall of Yerushalayim, he has chema, rage, towards the armies who actually entered and destroyed the city. Abarbanel explains the two terms a little differently. Ki ketzef laHashem al kol goyim, God is angry at all the nations for their mistaken beliefs, for their polytheistic theologies. V'chema al kol tzva'am, and God is angry at the various specific armies that attacked Yerushalayim. For both of these reasons, hecherimam netanam latavach, Hashem will punish them with destruction. Pasuk Bet uses the word latavach, slaughter, and a slaughter is exactly what Yeshayahu describes in Pasuk Gimel. V'chalaleihem yushlachu ufigrehem ya'ale ba'asham v'namasu harim midamam. Their slain will be left lying, and the stench of their corpses will mount, and the hills will be drenched with their blood. As this nevuah is a prophecy about the ultimate geula, the coming of Mashiach, Abarbanel explains that this slaughter is a fitting punishment. At the end of days, nations will descend on Yerushalayim to fight over it, each nation claiming it as their holy city and killing each other in the process. The ground of Yerushalayim, once drenched with Jewish blood during the two conquests of Bavel and Rome, will now run with the blood of our conquerors. In Pasuk Dalet, Yeshayahu describes, V'namaku kol tzva hashamayim v'nagolu kasefer hashamayim. The heavenly host will melt and the heavens will roll up like a scroll. What does this mean? Abarbanel explains that each nation has a heavenly power, like an angel, that supervises it on behalf of Hashem, except the Jewish nation, which is supervised directly by Hashem. This is the meaning of the pasuk in Devarim. Eretz asher Hashem Elokecha doreshota, tamid einei Hashem Elokecha ba mereshit hashana ve'ad acharit hashana. It is a land which Hashem looks after, on which Hashem always keeps his eye from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. Typically, says Abarbanel, the heavenly supervisor of a particular nation is hard at work, influencing its nation and advocating on behalf of that nation, giving Hashem all the reasons to bestow blessing on that particular people. Now, says Yeshayahu in Pasuk Dalet, that legion of angels, those heavenly supervisors, will melt or fade away, no longer able to advocate for their respective nations. In addition, explains Abarbanel, God will no longer bestow his blessing on the nations he's angry with, turning his beneficent hand instead towards the nations he still favors. This is the meaning of heaven rolling up like a scroll. When you read a scroll, if you don't like the chapter you're reading, you just roll it up and scroll to a chapter you like better. God is rolling the scroll away from the nations he's angry with and opening up to a new chapter. While Pasuk Dalet describes God turning away from the nations of the world and their supervising angels, Pasuk He suggests that Hashem will do more than just turn his back, describing how God's sword will be sated or satisfied in Shamayim, indicating that God will take revenge on this heavenly host, destroying them first before turning to the nations they represent and punishing those nations directly. Although this nevuah began as a universal message to the nations of the world, in Psukim Hei and Vav, Yeshayahu directs his message of punishment at the nation of Edom specifically. Why is Edom singled out? Malbim suggests that Edom is referenced in our pasuk as the paradigm of a nation steeped in idolatry. This means that our nevuah doesn't have a unique message for Edom, but is warning all the idol-worshipping nations of the world of what Hashem has in store for them. This would then be a continuation of the global message of our perek. Rashi defines Edom as Amalek, our old nemesis. This makes sense because Edom is the nation of Esav, and Amalek is Esav's grandson. Perhaps Rashi sees this nevuah as God's intention to fulfill the Torah's directive, Timche et Zecher Amalek mitachat Hashamayim. Later in Pasuk Yud, Rashi finds proof for this in the Navi's use of the words Midor Lador, reminding us of the Pasuk in Shmot. Milchama laHashem ba'Amalek Midor Dor. Hashem will be at war with Amalek throughout the ages. Rashi suggests that our war with Amalek began in Moshe's time, continued with Shaul, then Mordechai's battle against Haman, and will finally be won by Melech HaMashiach. Radak explains that Edom is singled out because our perek is a nevuah about Mashiach, who will come and redeem us from our current and final galut, the exile we've suffered for almost 2,000 years at the hands of Edom. At the end of Pasuk Vav, Yeshayahu mentions, Ki zevach laHashem bevatzra vetevach gadol be'eretz Edom, a great sacrifice to Hashem in Batzra and a slaughter in the land of Edom. This goes back to the words of Pasuk Aleph, where God mentioned both Goyim, nations that have been our philosophical enemies, and Le'umim, nations that have been our physical enemies. The great sacrifice to Hashem in Batzra, explains the Malbim, represents Hashem nullifying the mistaken religious philosophies of the nations of the world, while the slaughter in Edom is God's punishment for those nations who attacked or oppressed Bnei Yisrael physically. Where or what is Batzra? Malbim explains that Batzra is the religious center of Edom, the seat of its high priests. This would certainly explain why the Navi chooses Batzra as the future site of this great sacrifice to Hashem. What better place to promote the theological message of Hashem's singularity than the religious center of Edom, that paradigm of idolatry? Rashi and Metzudat David actually identify Batzra as a city in Moab, but explain that since the second king of Edom, mentioned in Sefer Breishit, actually came from the Moavi city of Batzra, Moab will now suffer alongside her ally, Edom. Metzudat David also acknowledges that since the name Batzra is also the Hebrew word for fortress, Batzra may have also simply been the name of a large and fortified city in Edom. There would have also been a Batzra in Moab, and probably each nation would have had a city, perhaps its capital, that was its stronghold or fortress. Pasuk Zion returns to a universal nevuah, mentioning Re'emim, Uparim, Imabirim, wild oxen, young bulls, and mighty steer, which, according to Abarbanel, represent all the nations of the world who will join with Edom in oppressing us before Mashiach comes. Kiyom nakam laHashem shnat shilumim l'riv tzion. On that day of vengeance, says Yeshayahu in Pasuk Chet, in that era of payback, all of these enemies, both physical and philosophical, will be punished. Pasuk Tet describes this punishment. V'nehefchu nechaleha lezefet ve'afara legofrit ve'hayta artza lezefet boera. Its streams will be turned to pitch and its soil to sulfur. Its land will become burning pitch. Abarbanel and Radak note that the mention of turning the soil to gofrit, to sulfur, is reminiscent of the destruction of Sodom and Amorah, the gofrit va'esh that rained down on those corrupt places. We refer to that destruction as Mahapechat Sodom, a complete upheaval. Here too our pasuk uses the verb venehefru, a total upheaval or overturning of a nation or nations. Since these nations represent false ideologies, their destruction has to be complete and final. Therefore, says Yeshayahu in Pasuk Yod, Laila veyomam lo tichbe leolam ya'ale ashana, midor lador techarav, lenetzach netzachim eino verba. Night and day, it will never go out. Its smoke will rise for all time. Through the ages, it will lie in ruins. Through the eons, none will traverse it. The Pasuk contains four separate mentions of the everlasting nature of God's annihilation of our philosophical enemies. Laila veyomam, night and day, le'olam, forever, midor lador, throughout the generations, and lenetzach netzachim, for all eternity. Not only will Hashem destroy these nations, but they will never be rebuilt, their ideologies and theologies permanently reduced to rubble. Yeshayahu takes this a step further in Pasuk Yod Aleph, describing how God will measure the former lands of these nations with a kav tohu ve'avne vohu, a line of chaos and weights of emptiness. This image of tohu vavohu immediately calls to mind the nothingness, the void that existed before the world was created. These nations and their ideologies then can't be rebuilt, because the punishment they'll suffer will render them void, as if they never existed. The land that once belonged to these formerly mighty empires will now be settled by owls and ravens, jackals and hyenas, thorns and nettles growing in place of former palaces and fortresses. The animals mentioned in these psukim are predatory, nocturnal, animals that represent darkness and danger. And in addition to the animals that will prowl this ground, Pasuk Yudalid relates that Ach Sham Hirgiya Lilit Umatzala Manoach, even the female demon Lilit will find a place to settle. Abarbanel explains this as yet another message to Edom, representing all the nations, about their mistaken religious philosophy. Where they formerly worshipped what they believed were gods, where they formerly built temples and shrines to their idols, has now become the home of demons and dark spirits. Hearing this nevuah while we still live in exile, our Beit HaMikdash still in ruins at the hands of the Romans, Edom, it might almost seem impossible to believe that this messianic vision will ever be a reality. Will Mashiach ever come? Will there come a day when the nations that oppose us in ideology will cease to exist, allowing those that remain to acknowledge the singular power of Hashem? Yeshayahu addresses this fundamental question in the final two psukim of our perek. Dirshu me al sefer Hashem ukra'u achat mehena lo ne'edara isha re'uta lo pakadu, ki pihu tziva v'rucho hu kibtzan. Search and read it in the scroll of Hashem. Not one of these shall be absent, not one will miss its fellow. For his mouth has spoken, it is his spirit that has assembled them. Abarbanel explains, if you need proof that the great day of Mashiach will come, just look it up in the Sifrei Nevi'im, which are called Sefer Hashem in our Pasuk because, of course, the words of the Nevi'im are, in fact, the words of Hashem. In addition, adds the Ibn Ezra, the Pasuk promises that Achat Mehena Lo Ne'edara, none of these Nevuot will be missing, none will fail. And because of this promise, we can have faith that afal pi sheyitmameya, even though our galut is lengthy, and we feel like we've waited endlessly for Mashiach to come, achakelo bechol yom sheyavo, we continue to anticipate our ultimate redemption, believing with our emunah shleima that it will indeed come. Thank you for studying together le'ilui nishmat Malka Esther Batzvi Yosef.